Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I
out of you live.
Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome to 2017, a great year in our Lord, and we're blessed, hold the faith that everyone has had a joyous time thus far, 3 days in, and just glad to be here. Wonderful, wonderful to be here. And I'm glad that all of us have made it to this side from the other side, 2016. And Dr. Lali, Ron, and Mario, Nathan, whoever else is on the call, we welcome you tonight. So, Dr. Lali, I'll let you take it away.
Thank you, Ida. First of all, Happy New Year, everyone, and hope your Christmas holiday was fabulous. This is a year that the Lord has made, and we are full of great expectations for what He is doing for environmental health and wellness. January happens to be the National Radon Awareness Month. It's decreed out of the Office of the Surgeon General of the Department of Health and Human Services of the United States. And I'm so excited that we are not alone as warriors and advocates for environmental health and safety and taking the green campaign, the whole auspices of going green, taking it a step further to going green and safe. We are so excited tonight to have our Canadian family on the line, engineers in Canada, nanoelectric specialists, environmental health physicists, practitioners, farmers, water nano specialists, all of the talent and professional people that come week in and day out that stay on the campaign trail for a better health for their families and the communities and the cities that they live in. If you're on this radio show tonight, it's because you have been anointed to be an angel that helps to preserve the very breath of life. And so I want to say, give a shout out to my colleagues at Central State University. Thank you for the many words of encouragement that you have sent me regarding the gold medal that we won actually last year from the Church of God in Christ, the second ecclesiastical jurisdiction in Pittsburgh. Some of you just got the word at Central State, but I thank you. We always take kudos. They encourage us in this journey to help preserve the legacy of health that we have inherited. Shout out to my advisory team at the Center for Health Equity and Urban Science Education at Teachers College, Columbia University in New York City. I really appreciate your continued support of us developing a curriculum to now train doctors and nurses. I want to shout out to the Woodson Center, the Community for Neighborhood Enterprises. Thank you for funding our breast health campaign in one of the most challenged areas in the United States with breast cancer, Ward 5 and 4 and 5 in Washington, D.C. The Washington Post archives that Ward 4 and 5 in the heart of the city has the highest incident of African-American women dying from stage 3 and 4 breast cancer in the nation. And to my colleagues at the University of Cincinnati, in Cincinnati, Ohio, in the Midwest, who have got a grant to now to continue their efforts to explore environmental factors in breast health. Hopefully we can build a bridge from that work, you know, to Washington, D.C., and begin to compare notes. To our friends in Canada and Australia and London, England, who have labored and labored and labored and produced a app for breast self-examination for men and women. I just found out that one of my nieces, fiance's father, was a pastor of a very world-renowned megachurch, and he passed from breast cancer, a man who passed from breast cancer, and got word from my network in Los Angeles about another pastor who was just newly diagnosed with breast cancer. This is a man. So breast cancer is no longer a disease of women. It's also a disease of men, and we have to evaluate these environmental factors that are contributing to the demise of our health and breast tissue. So tonight's show, we're going to focus on what the herb, what the Office of the Surgeon General was talking about when the cause of radon toxicity in the home is so vast that even Dr. Oz has used it. He now has his own campaign telling people that, yes, radon is a nationwide problem. Matter of fact, it's a global problem. Where does radon come from? As a young woman, I thought radon was when you had natural gas in the house and you had a heating source or source of air conditioning coming from natural gas. And I thought that radon was a byproduct of that. But I was totally flipped when I found out I wasn't even in the ballpark. If you have radon, and it's spelled R-A-D-O-N, radon, it means that you have a rock in the dirt that's around your house or under the building that you're in. And that rock is called uranium. When that rock begins to decay, it makes a gas that's radioactive called radon. And that radon can contaminate the plants that might be in the soil around your house. It can contaminate water sources, wells that might be on the property that the house is on. It can contaminate your plants that you grow around the house. So the thing that becomes so problematic is that in the winter time, like in the month of January, this is the time when you're supposed to test your house for radon. Why? Because in the winter when it gets cold, radon condenses, and it can become so highly concentrated that when it comes into the cracks in your basement surface, or it's coming in if your house is built on a flat, on a slab of concrete, and that concrete cracks, it can come in through the crack. And it comes in a concentrated source. Then when it heats up, it expands in your house. So grab your pencil and your piece of paper. I'm going to give you some levels that you need to reference because we're in a new age. This is 2017. We're not living in the dark anymore. We are educated consumers. We have a need to know what kind of radiation levels that we're living in. And as I've talked about continuously, there are two radiation levels that you need to know about in your indoor environment. One is non-ionizing radiation that's in your electrical system that translates into electromagnetic fields. But the second one that is equally as important is ionizing radiation, which comes from radon coming from the dirt your house is built in. Also, if you have that beautiful granite in your kitchen, those stone counters that people love in their kitchen, and the countertops, and if you have fire detectors that are about over 10 years old, if you're a collector of ceramic vases that people put flowers in or just have around for decoration, anything that's been fire glazed and ceramic, radon can be in all of those things. Off-gassing in your house. And so, if you got your piece of paper and pencil, I'm going to give you the numbers for what your radon levels should be. Your radon levels should be below 4.0 picocuries per liter. That's PiCL of radioactive gas. Again, I'm going to give that number again. Now, this is according to the Food and Drug administration. Again, that's 4.0. P-I, capital C, small p, small I, capital C, / capital L. That stands for picocuries per liter of radioactive gas. But if you reference the World Health Organization, in 2009, they modified that number for the global community, and they brought it down to 2.7 picocuries per liter because environmental scientists say that if you have high levels of EMF, electromagnetic fields, in your house because you got satellite dishes, wireless infrastructure, you can actually potentiate this radioactive gas. Now, when I got sick, people know my story, and my story is simply I bought a house, moved in the house, started getting sick. Went to a medical conference in Canada, met a doctor from Russia who asked me if I had ants. She told me that ants love to infest houses that are highly radioactive and directed me to get an engineer. And I was blown away because when the engineer came to evaluate my home for radiation, he was not certified to evaluate for radon, but he advocated that I needed to get the house tested for radon. And I was so amazed. I brought a digital radon reading device. And when it sampled the radon in my house and told me that the radon was almost at 6.0, I think it was like 5.8, one test that we did, and we did a test 2 weeks later that was at 6.2. And so that was high enough to get a mitigation. I was totally blown away that, yes, we heard about radon, and yes, we heard about electromagnetic frequencies in terms of somebody getting electrocuted. But in terms of lifestyle, living, a source of injury, environmental radiation never got translated like that in my nursing curriculum nor in my nursing career. And I was so inspired by this nuclear engineer and the way. He was a health physicist. He worked with medical doctors, sent the medical doctors and the health physicists to my house. The way they were so careful and so attentive to every detail of chemicals and radiation and electromagnetic frequencies, that he inspired me to go back to school. And Westinghouse at the time had a group of health physicists who specialized in radon testing, evaluation, and mitigation, and they were the top group on the East Coast. And there was a whole training and certification in ionized radiation, teaching you how to evaluate a home for risk of having too much radon, too much uranium exposure. And then there's a national exam that you have to take. And so I continued to stay in contact with a group of doctors that came to my house and the nuclear engineer, and when we found out that they had put this training program in place, we all went up there to take the training and kind of had a group study campaign going on for that exam, which they said was just as hard, if not harder, than the medical board to become health physicists and ionized radiation. And when I saw the ramification of an odorless gas, what radon can do to you, it was once thought that radon only attacked the lungs and left alpha particles that caused sustained inflammation in the lung, and that led to lung cancer. And truly in Europe and in Asia, if you have lung cancer, they can have your house tested for radon. But what has happened in the last few years, as we have learned more about radon and its effect on health, we have seen that radon can actually cause all kinds of cancer, especially pancreatic cancer. And in some communities across the Midwest, there are intentional studies that are looking at people with pancreatic cancer and what are their radon levels. And in communities where we have retrofitted houses and family members have pancreatic cancer or lung cancer, we've asked them to test their homes for radon and share the data with us. It's been overwhelming to see every single house that had pancreatic cancer or lung cancer that shared data with us had radon levels that exceeded 7.0. One of the survey engineers that worked with us and had his home tested because his wife developed pancreatic cancer, he reported to me that the radon level in their home was 21.1. I told him I had never heard in that community of a number that high. Most of the people that were reporting something around 14, 12 to 14. But his was 21, and his wife was a stay-at-home wife. So she had exposure to this gas morning, noon, and night. Dr. Oz, I was amazed to see that he's on the campaign trail now, very concerned about radon, because the numbers for pancreatic cancer and lung cancer are just through the roof and off the chart. And he advises that if you don't know what your levels are or you can't afford mitigation, when it comes to the winter months and the summer months when you have to have air conditioning and the windows closed, he said every day on every level, especially before you go to sleep at night, you should crack a window for a minimum of 15 minutes and let the air, let it ventilate, let your house ventilate. And he said that that is something that everybody can do to minimize their exposure and to dissipate the levels that may be in the home. Turn a fan on and vent your house for 15 minutes on every level of the house. And so as we look forward to how we're going to plan out the rest of our month, this is a fantastic year, and I tell you what, my faith has just kind of leaped through the roof. I want to just sidetrack a little bit from radon to tell you about the Green Bay Packer game and the Detroit Lions. If you watch it on Sunday, then this is just kind of a playback for you. Those of you know that my great nephew, is I'm so excited about his career. He's so young, and he's a cornerback for Green Bay Packers. Very talented young man. And toward the latter part of the game, I mean within the last, I'm going to say, less than 10 minutes, he was making a tackle. The ball was thrown down the field, and he was making a tackle. And he was running so fast, like a stallion. And he made the tackle, and the opponent, Detroit Lion, dropped to the ground. And then he flipped over him and became airborne. And when he came down, he came down on the side of his neck. And we all thought he had severed his spinal cord. He rolled up and sat, and then it was like his body went lifeless, and he couldn't feel. The right side of his body was numb, and his hands were numb, and they came and by ambulance log rolled him off the field and onto Henry Ford Hospital, which is one of the most prestigious hospitals in the Detroit area. And we're just sitting there, and when that happened to him, we began to immediately pray about the situation, pray about his spinal cord specifically, pray about what was going on, because we felt the shock. We knew that he was experiencing paralysis You know, whether it was going to be temporary or permanent, we knew he was in it for that moment, and we began to pray and decree and declare that God would just supernaturally heal, touch, and restore that tissue. And within 24 hours, it took maybe about an hour, and his feeling and motion started coming back. I'm saying all that to say that 2017 gives us an invitation to become intentional about our lifestyle. We have to accept the fact that we are not born of ourselves. We may have been created by a passion of explosion between our parents, but there's an entity, a force of love and life greater than that that gave us the very breath of life. We think about how innocent a breath is. We can breathe it in and breathe it out. But in a nanosecond, if we lose our ability to breathe, it shuts our world down and we become listless and lifeless. And so radon is a very threat to the very existence of the breath of life. And it's not enough for us to just be on this radio show, listening to this information, turn the show off, turn over, and go to sleep, but intentionally make a decision that for every show that you listen to, find at least 10 people to tell the story to. That we empower the next generation. Don't just tell it to your peers and your friends. Most of them, you know, may not use the information, but it's familiar to them. But we have to get the next generation, those young people under the age of 10. My motto has now become catch them while they're young, empower them while they're 6, 7, 8. Begin to ignite this fire for environmental safety. As I was fellowshipping New Year's Day, I went to church because that's my commitment. I like to begin the first day of the year in the house of God. I just can't make it without God. I don't want to make it without God. I don't want to live without having a relationship with the God who created me. And so I was in fellowship, and all the balloons started raining down and all the confetti as we went from 2006 into 2017. And I went up to the altar to speak to one of the pastors, and he began to decree and declare and pray some things over me. And that's what I want to leave with everyone on this show tonight. I want to leave you empowered with the fact that we are divine beings. You didn't just get this passion for environmental health and wanting to know how to stay abreast on what you need to be doing and how you need to be doing it and how you need to help your neighbor. And as we were standing on the altar and he was praying for me, he said to me, "Dr. Olali, you know, God really has anointed you to be in this whole work of environmental health." He said, "And I pray that he gives you a venue to China." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because they have so much chemical conversion in China. People are going around with those aerator masks." He said, "That's a part of their lifestyle." They said they cannot breathe because so much toxic waste has been dumped in their soil, and the Volta compromised, and they're now airborne. They have a lot of uranium there. And we prayed for China, that God would supernaturally some kind of way intervene, that his grace would be multiplied just for the breath of life for the people in that country. As we were standing there, my mind went back to a conference I was at last year at the African Chamber of Commerce, and there was a delegation there, the ambassador from the Congo, that has the richest supply of uranium in the world. Uranium that off-gas radon. They also have the largest population of children born with birth defects in the world. And I can remember the ambassador saying to me, "Dr. Olali, maybe what you're doing for non-ionizing radiation or electricity and electromagnetic fields can also somehow mitigate and enhance the mitigation for radon and uranium. And I took his petition, and I said it before the altar, before God. And I said, God, you are the great I am. I said, this skill that I possess is so far beyond me, I can't even take ownership of it. Because every time I sat down in the lab to adjust technology that's already prototypes we've been playing with for years to try to get it to do different stuff, you truly have guided me in the evolution of all this technology. It's all your grace. But what we see happening with Soli, the new window insulator, the harmonic that balances glass, and what it's doing for sanitizing air and creating energy waves that move air, I think may be a great hope for helping with ventilation and mitigation of radon and the assault of radon. And so I want to do a different thing on the show tonight, because we have enough people. The word of God proclaims if three are gathered together in his name, he is in the midst. And I believe if we can come on one accord, on the one accord of grace, and believe together that God would make a way to mitigate radon that's natural, that takes the assault of its power that cripples children before they can even stretch forth from their mother's womb. I believe we can come in agreement, and I believe God can release a technology for intervention in that area. I believe God can release a technology from heaven to this earth that will mitigate the environment in such a way it will arrest these massive numbers of lung cancer and pancreatic cancer and any other cancer that has not yet been attached to radon. It can mitigate that. And I was listening as I was coming down the highway rushing to get back to my home I was listening to Joe Osteen. I was rushing to get back to prepare for this radio show. And I was listening to Joe Osteen. I love to listen to Joe Osteen on Sirius Radio. And he was talking about the fact that to set forth your expectations. And he used the story. Before I talk about Joe Osteen, I want to talk about what preceded Joe Osteen. I was on my Facebook today, and one of the doctors had posted up a prayer call, said that there were some heavy things on his mind, and he was burdened, and he was calling for his Facebook family to join him in prayer. There were 92 people that had already responded to this, his call for prayer. And I began to look at his call for prayer and this story that Joe Osteen was getting ready to share. And the two had two different beginnings, and they had, I guess they were going toward the same expectation. Here you had a medical doctor calling for people to pray because things were burdening him, and he was heavy laden and he was weary. And then you had a story in the Bible about a centurion soldier whose son was sick unto death. And he was coming to Jesus to ask Jesus to pray for him. And by the time he arrived to Jesus, Jesus said, man, go home. Your son is healed and whole. He never even prayed. He just spoke to the situation and commanded a healing outcome. And at the same moment it was spoken and released, it was done. And I'm saying to all of you under the sound of my voice on this line tonight, every single one of you made by God, God is moving us in 2017 from praying about things to happen to speaking and commanding healing outcomes and safety outcomes and safer environments and greener environments and pulling off the shelves of heaven resources needed to rebalance your environments. That the favor of God is getting ready to double and triple in all of you at the sound of my voice. And that's why I'm making an international appeal for you to sanctify yourself wholly, for you to purge your heart and say, I will be an emissary of goodness and peace and mercy. Because as we run back the archives of the last 18 months of doing these weekly radio shows, as I am so humbled by the faithfulness of all of you, times I couldn't even get on the show because I was in the mountain, couldn't get no signal. Times I couldn't get on the show because I was at a mayor's conference and I couldn't get away from these mayors that are trying to deal with problems with the environment in their cities and they wanted research. Times that I couldn't, you were faithful. You were faithful to be on the line, to render your testimonies, to stir up hope and faith. And now, because of your faithfulness, in 2017, your mouth is anointed to decree the grace of God, the mercy of God, and command his healing from heaven to the earth. The word of God proclaims, if the word of God is in you, you can ask whatever it is, and it will be granted unto you. The word of God proclaims that when we are in him, we are a quickened life. We are an eternal life. We are a walking source of renewed life. We have the capacity to speak a word that strengthens a human being with hope and faith and fortitude to endure the journey of life. We also have the invitation to act like angels and talk like God, so that whatsoever we loose in the heavens is loose on the earth. Whatsoever we bind in the heavens is bound here on earth. And so, in the last few minutes that we have, before I open up the line for testimonies, I want to release unto all of you under the sound of my voice some instruction. First thing I want you to do is I need you to identify a mirror in your house. And I'm going to give it a name. It's going to be called the Behold Mirror. And every morning I want you to get in that mirror and I want you to act like you are talking to God. And I want you to say, good morning, God. Bless me indeed. Fourth Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. It's one of the shortest prayers in the Bible, but it's one of the most powerful prayers. I want you to go to God like you're having an eye-to-eye conversation in this mirror and pray the Jabez prayer, First Chronicles, chapter 4, verse 9. Jabez said, bless me indeed. And if you don't know the story of Jabez, The story is simply Jabez was born to his mother, and the father was absent somewhere. In Jewish culture, fathers name children. Mothers will only name a child in the absence of the father. This mother not only named the child, but she cursed him. She said, "He's son of my pain," and made him a mockery in the community that he would walk around with the name Jabez. And he understood the vibration of names and how they are prophetic to your future. So he went to God in a prayer, and he said, "I need you to bless me in spite of the fact that my mother has cursed me. She has cursed me with this name. Bless me indeed. I need you to enlarge my territory for ministry, because every single one of us in the earth is a minister. Every single one of us in the earth is a messenger. Every single one of us in the earth has the capacity to point God in an area of need where he can be magnified as God." When I hear these testimonies in the past 2 years coming over this radio show, people with their self-care and self-study models, engineers and health physicists who educated people about nanotechnologies that block radiation, that increase alkalinity of water and oxygen. And people became like explorers. They became inspired to sojourn, to use technology in innovative ways, far beyond what it was created for. The nanotechnologies, the bioharmonizers, the flat batteries that we've been talking about on this radio show were never intended to cure, treat, prevent, diagnose diseases. They're an electric safety device intended to block static and be biosustainable to help the body sustain its energy and not have energy loss when the body is engaged in electrical and wireless devices. And here the innovation that came forth on this radio show of so many incredible miracles happened because each and every one of us is a minister of mercy. Happens because you brought a message of hope and grace, and somebody engaged that message. They believed. Even when the enemy came, people came against me and they were so harsh and tried to defame my name and say I was not a registered nurse and the technology was not this and that. God continued to give us favor. And out of nowhere, we had favor with electrophysicists from NASA who had quantifying instruments that could validate the technology across many levels. God gave us favor with nanowater physicists who had all kinds of instruments to be able to test the water for pH and alkalinity and be able to test it for how it manipulates minerals in the water and keeps them soft, and it softens hard water. I mean, that all of these people mobilized around hope, a hope of better water, of better indoor air quality, of safer environments that mitigate radiation. When I think about who you are, the anointing that's on your life, the mercy of your heart. We're all just like Jabez. So God, bless us indeed. Put your hand upon us, God. Everybody under the sound of my voice on this radio show, I'm asking you to bless Jonathan Hill. Put your right hand upon him for your righteousness. Put your left hand upon him for your honor. Thank you for the strength to carry this radio show going into the completion of his second year. Father, we decree and declare the needs, every need of his house is met, that he's increased. Every blessing that he commands over his family, over his church, over his street, over his community, over his city, over his world is done by the authority of your love for him. Father, we're asking you to enlarge his territory for ministry, to give him an extraordinary temperance, that he operates in quantum forgiveness, God, so that no one frustrates the magnanimous demonstration of grace and mercy that his heart holds. In the name, Lord Jesus. And Father God, we thank you for Ida, how you brought her through the year, losing so many family members, God, that were close to her soul. We asking you to bless her indeed. Put your hands upon her for your righteousness and your honor. Enlarge her territory for ministry, the ministry of health that you have given through the complete restoration of her thyroid, the ministry of health that you have given for relief from arthritic pain. Let that be an anointing that she can bless others with, God. To my Canadian family, Lynn, Mario, Rod, Pierre, and all the many, many people whose lives they have touched, and the many cows who have stirred up faith and innovation for the application of this technology. I'm asking you, God, to do a magnanimous work in these men of courage who are full of vision and innovation for this gift of this technology that you have placed in the earth, God, because it's your technology. This technology is so far beyond me. And what this Soli is doing exceeds anything I even dreamed of, God. I'm asking you, Father God, to search the hearts of these men, my Canadian family. Know them, their deepest desires, the dreams that are unfulfilled, the hopes that have been buried, resurrect every life in them. Let the joy of the morning infuse these dreams and ignite them to live. And I call every one of them into fruition. Mighty God, who birthed us out of the might of your love, and love that's never failed, that's unconditional, that's full of amazing grace, that has the ability to forgive, to forbear, to restore. I thank you for the testimony of Rita. I thank you for the testimony of Lynn. I thank you for the testimony that Pierre has. I thank you for Mario's cows in the farm. I thank you, Father God, for every miracle. I thank you for the miracle of the lake and being able to increase the alkalinity of the water for a healthier lake. I thank you for the miracle of Brian and how you stirred the joy in his soul and made him dream again of a better life and a better future with better diabetes, better management, Father God, and better control for that condition. You are awesome, and we worship you and we adore you. And I'm asking you to bless Brother Bob Sasso, Father God, head of the minority contractors, for taking this to the construction industry. I'm asking you to bless my team at Columbia University, Father God, who forged, who allowed us and supported us so that a child suffering with 600 seizures a day, my God, find our way to this technology and have it put into her clinical study. You have been so faithful to us, God, because we have operated in love and concern and mercy for humanity. Bless us all indeed. Bless our children to inherit this legacy. Go send the angels before us, God, and create pathways that we can follow. Give us favor. Father God, put our enemies to confusion, God. Those that seek our hurt because they don't understand. We don't work for nobody but you. And do the exceeding. Break open doors, Father God. Let grants come in every community that we live in. The Environmental Protection Agency has $50,000 grants for us to be able to go out and educate people on making indoor environments safe. Father, empower those on this show to be able to go after these grants. Canada now has all kinds of monies. We thank you for the Power Guard being served, certified as LEED Platinum. And the Ontario government is now recognizing it as a green product. We bless you, God, for doing the exceeding in our lives. And we just come with thanksgiving, saying thank you for your mercy and your grace unto us. Continue to strengthen us in this journey, Father God. In this month where the nation is celebrating radon testing, may everyone in our church, our civic organizations, may the people hear us, and may they take heed to the words we speak to reduce their exposure, in Jesus' name. There are so many testimonies that people have been sending me by email, and I just have a testimony that I want to share. And I have two, actually. The first testimony is that we heard from the home. We did a conversion on a house that already had solar panels. And the difference is night and day, and they are just ecstatic with joy that they're saving even more on from their electric bill. And they have well water. They said the water is so soft and it's and incredible. Their skin is just transformed. And I was just so amazed to see 60-year-old people looking 30 years old. I don't know if anyone looked at Facebook today, but I posted up in a house that one of my friend's homes I've been staying in. They've had the water system for a couple of months now. I've been with them for the holidays. And they are just amazed at how young and youthful and flawless my skin looks bathing in alkaline water and highly oxygenated water every day. I was amazed myself when I saw the pictures because I went to lunch with one of my friends. They said, "What are you using on your skin?" I said, "I haven't even put on any makeup today." They said, "Your skin is so amazing." I'm telling you, this water is amazing. And the second testimony was that everybody knows I had breast cancer. I had a tumor excised in 2007, so it's been 10 years ago. And when African-American people get surgery, sometimes you can get keloids or you get hypertrophy of tissue, meaning that you get a scar tissue. And I had a scar tissue on my breast. It was a scar about an inch and a half long. And I started having some crazy, kind of funny sensation in the breast. When it gets low on iodine, it starts talking to me and telling me when my trace minerals are deficient. So I'm not always faithful to take these trace minerals every day. But I do try to get them in a couple times a week unless I start feeling sensitive in that breast, and I'll start taking them every day. So I said, well, I better help it. Since I'm feeling this sensation, I'll put one of the nanobio balances, the longevity products, on my breast. I was totally amazed that I wore maybe 5 weeks. The scar has totally disappeared. I want the world to see this. I just have to figure out how I'm going to take a picture of my breast and show it to the world. So, I mean, no one can believe that the scar is totally gone. The breast looks like it never had nothing, except for you can see a little indentation where they put the marker. They put a wire in my breast to guide the surgeon to exactly where the tumor was by ultrasound. And there's a little indentation. You can tell when it went in, it took out some tissue. But I mean, it's almost, if you didn't know it, you just think it was just, you know, a mark or something. But it's just been amazing to see this impact of this technology in my own life. Having said all that, I'm going to open up the phone lines now. If anyone has any testimonies to share, any New Year resolutions, any proclamations, because this year we're moving beyond praying. We're going to decree, declare, and proclaim. I decree and declare grants and finances come to all of us. I decree and declare this is the most prosperous financial year. We will meet high marks. We will sell millions of dollars of this technology. We're going to be able to do the exceeding in this year, because we now have all the confirmation we need, and we have clinical studies yet to fund. We have technology in. Every clinical study starts in the range of $250,000. A seizure clinical study starts at $500,000. We have doctors that want to test this technology with heart patients, because we have so many people, you've heard so many testimonies on this line about people who suffer from sinus tachycardia. They get up and get the technology out of their phone. One pastor from Hawaii testified that God told him to run it in water and lay it on his chest. In less than 3 minutes, all his heart rate was gone. A woman from Montreal testified that when her heart starts racing, she gets it out of her phone and puts it in her bra, and the heart rate stops. We have doctors that want to testify. They want to do a clinical trial on the technology in heart use and heart disease. We've heard so many testimonies about diabetics that wear it over the pancreas or in the left foot, and their diabetes is like managed, comes into balance, into control. Such that so many people have talked about the doctor had to take them off of all their medication. We heard the testimony of David Cormley, 22 years of taking insulin and diabetic medication. He wears the technology in his shoes, in his cell phone, and he hasn't used medication in over 3 years. To add to that, he had a wound on his right foot for 8 years that refused to heal, and today it's healed. And so there are so many clinical studies that we want to fund. And we just believe in God that we are heavy with favor. And we're going to find an investor. We're going to find a philanthropist. Somebody is going to seed into us because we are validated now. We are so grateful for the support of the aerospace community and the electrophysicists and the medical doctors that are now standing with us to move this technology forward. And overflow is going to come to many of you. Many of you have been knocking on doors with me for years and years to get contracts. We're excited. We got one more new technology coming in March. And the EGB, the glass units at the door, the static blocker for glasses is at the door. So having said all that, I'll open up the lines and share. You know, their New Year's hope for our journey. You know, let's move forward. decreeing and declaring what God is going to do is going to be exceeding in this year. In the name of Lord Jesus, I decree it so, and I decree it now. Amen. Anybody want to share on the line? Well, if nobody has anything to share, I'm going to leave you with this note. On Christmas Day, my phone rang about 7:15. It was one of the councilmen from a very large city. He said, I want you to get up and get on this phone line. It's with a young man out of Atlanta. And the phone line was, we are millionaire-minded. I don't think this young man's out of his 20s. I could be wrong, but I was just totally blown away by him because he said that the task at hand for this morning, Christmas morning, is for us to forgive the unforgivable, for us to experience one of the greatest legacies that the world has ever known, and that's quantum forgiveness. He talked about Jesus Christ in a way I've never heard before, because he talked about him on the cross. You know, most people at Christmas time, they're talking about the birth of Christ. He's talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and how he asked in the middle of that great suffering. I can't even take the pain of a needle prick. You know, you have those safety pins and you try to get it open and you pop your finger with it. My goodness, that's excruciating for me. Let alone to have a nail put in your hand and big spike nails put in your hands and your feet and you to be made mockery and given vinegar to drink. And in that level of suffering, you could find the humility and the grace to fill your life with forgiveness and not scorn. The young man admonished everybody on the line. There was 129 people who had got up to get on this phone call, and they charged you. And I think they said a penny a minute is what we paid. To listen to a young man tell us to master forgiveness. And on Christmas morning, he challenged us to identify the people that had scorned us the most, that had lied on us, cheated us, broke our backs, stole from us, ridiculed us. He said, make the list and check it twice. And open your heart to the eternal God and ask him to give you the gift of forgiveness. Because he said, to prepare for wealth that comes to you in a perfect way that brings peace, that you can enjoy, that you can use to increase the value of others. He said, wrap your finger around that. Put a pin right there. Every single one of you were born to increase the value of humanity. I was born to create a nanotechnology to increase the value of humanity and to save lives. He said, and when you have that kind of journey, there are great offenses. There are great obstacles put in your way. And so the task is for those obstacles to make you bitter and have you engage in wars over nothing to distract you so that you cannot fulfill your journey to be maximized in the innovation that you were created to make. He said, and what forgiveness does is allow that offense to roll off of you. Nothing will be able to grip you or hold on you to you or weaken your momentum in the journey. It won't be able to take from you the creative forces and the creative power. And so I'm leaving all of you with that thought. Forgive those who have greatly offended you. And prepare for wealth and the most incredible year of your life. Shake your dreams off. Get them out of the drawer. Go in the backyard and dig them up. Some of you have buried them. Because you were made to increase the value of living. Lynn, every time you share, if you're listening tonight, every time you're on this line and you share the miracle of your wife, how that inspired you to go get a meter and become grace and mercy in your community. And look at the angel you've been to Brian. Rod, as I think about how you've gone out in the community, knocking on doors, educating people, demonstrating, testing, empowering, and it's been one miracle after another miracle from your dog that was suffering with pain. You wrapped a bioharmonizer on his leg. He became pain-free, didn't need any more pain medication, and the leg pushed the tumor out of his leg. I think about the many testimonies that Mario and the cows and how those cows were sick and had all this stuff going on the farm, and as soon as the farm got retrofitted, it was like they became humanized. And the farmer saw an immediate contentment in those cows and a shift in their gastrointestinal system that enhanced their ability, you know, their elimination process. He said that was miraculous in and of itself. To Ida and the lady, I think about the lady with the crippling arthritis who just wanted to go to church and worship the Lord without being in pain. All the miracles that we've made and shared on this line. So good night, everyone. We have a great year ahead of us. And I decree God's favor over your life that this year you will do the exceeding. Your wings will be tipped with gold, and your wingspan will increase 10 feet. And your families will be healthier because of your advocacy. Your communities will become stronger, and you will become beacons of light, empowering people with knowledge to have safer indoors and healthier communities. In the name of Jesus. Good night, everyone. Happy New Year. Remember to go out and get your radon tested.
Good night, Dr. Lolly.
Good night,
Don.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Nathan.
Anybody in here been through some storms? If you've been through some storms, raise two hands. Well, I see some folks didn't raise their hands. I want to tell you, your storm is on the way. Do I have a witness here? All of us have to go through. Do I have a witness? In fact, the Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. In fact, I want to tell you tonight, you have to go through in order to get out. Do I have a witness here? Anybody here, if you've been through and God brought you out, I want you to tell two people, say, neighbor, I've been through. But I'm still here. Tell somebody else that.
I'm still here.
Help, Father.
Help, Father.
I'm still here. It's not the good that I have done. You have to win it again. So many things, hey, I left undone. Hallelujah. But in spite of all that, look at somebody, tell them, I got the victory. Come on, tell them, I got the victory. It's grace and mercy. Grace and mercy keeping me. Come on, say it. Whoa.
Yeah.